We are going to be speaking now, you know, a continual topic that we've been talking about, of course, is the current Ebola epidemic in West Africa. And joining me on the line is the Consul General of Cuba here in Canada, Mr. Javier Domokos. And he'll be speaking to us today about Cuba's role in sending doctors and nurses to West Africa to help with that. And, well, I'll let him speak about that. Hello, Mr. Domokos.
Hello, good afternoon, and good afternoon to all your audience.
Thank you very much for joining us, and it's very much an honor to have you on our show today.
And
I wanted to start off by asking you, at the top of our show, we had announced that Cuba this week had sent 97 additional doctors and nurses to West Africa, bringing the total, I think, somewhere in the 200 or 300. So can you tell us how many doctors and nurses are currently in West Africa helping with the Ebola crisis and what their roles have been?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. It's a pleasure for us. As you were mentioning at the beginning of your program, last October, 1st of October, in response to a request from the Director General of the World Health Organization and the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, Cuba sent a brigade of Cuban medical specialists to Sierra Leone, 165 in total, doctors and medical staff in general. Last October 21st, as part of a second response to the Ebola crisis, and during the ALBA TCP summit in Havana, the Cuban president announced that on 21st of October we'll be sending two more brigades, one to Liberia and the other one to Guinea, totaling 256 doctors in a group of 300 that are being trained in general in Cuba to be sent to the most hit areas. This is something that is being taken by the news as something new. But as you were mentioning, this is part of the Cuban tradition to support African nations.
Yeah. So before we get into that, because that's a very rich history that I would like us to discuss, but I guess before we jump into that, can you tell us what roles the doctors and other staff are playing in West Africa in terms of the Ebola crisis? Are they like frontline, or what kind of work are they doing?
Well, as you may understand, we are not in spot in the area now. We are following most of the communications from our ambassadors in the area, and the brigade is not yet playing a very active role. They are still receiving training, especially the last one that just arrived to Liberia and Guinea. They are going to be they are going to have camps, so they are not going to work on the field. They are going to work on hospital camps that are going to be established in the three countries, and to face the sick people in the area.
And you had mentioned that President Raul Castro had made the announcement of the additional deployment of doctors at the ALBA meeting on Monday. Can you tell us a bit more about what President Raul Castro said at the meeting regarding Ebola, and generally what the message has been about Ebola in Cuba?
Yes. Well, the first issue of the meeting was, and the speech of our president, was to call the attention of that this is a very dreadful epidemic that is advancing to everybody. So those that are thinking or reacting that this is something we can protect from, this is an epidemic that can cause damage to everybody. Secondly, we want to call the attention that the only way to face this is to prepare ourselves and to concert efforts among everybody. So it cannot be an isolated policy. He also mentioned that, well, Cuba was in the disposition to support the region, because we need to be prepared in the region in case Ebola reaches the Caribbean and Latin American region. And, well, they are already approve a declaration in which in very few days there are going to be another technical meeting. Cuba will be sending assistance to all the Latin American countries that need to prepare. There are Cuban's missions in Latin America, in 25 Latin American countries. Those doctors in place, they're also going to be trained and trained locals in case of the government agree to face the epidemic. And there was a very important message. There's been a lot about Cuba and the U.S. going around this because the only two big deployments in land is the Cuban medical brigade that, as you mentioned, is the biggest one of all the nations, even bigger than Médecins Sans Frontières and others. But you also have the deployment of American military. And there's been a lot of politicization. And he says, this is a very grave problem. It should not be politicized because we should avoid the risk of losing track of the main objectives, that is helping to confront the epidemic in Africa. And that is very correct. Mm-hmm. So we should avoid the politicization. Everybody should help Africa.
Yeah. I mean, and as much as I heed that call and I do believe in the humanitarian work, I did want to ask you about the contrasting ways that the international community has responded. When there is a call for doctors and for more kind of on-the-ground support, the United States has sent their military, whereas Cuba has sent, you know, doctors and is training doctors. And I would think that that would be an approach that people in West Africa would need more than, you know, a militarized presence of America in West Africa. So I don't know if you would be interested in commenting on kind of there has been a response, but the different ways that America and Cuba, for example, have responded to the call.
Well, I prefer to stick to what the Cuban president requests, not to politicize. Mm-hmm. I'm an active diplomat in Toronto, but let me tell you, and you know, one of the things that is nice or is I enjoy as a diplomat is how many times Cuba made me proud. So you don't have the opportunity as some people, as a politician, some others, and even as a simple Cuban. Sometimes you don't have too many opportunities to feel proud of your country. And some people politicizing this, they think is the Cuban government. But there are people behind that politics. You know, there are Cuban doctors that they were the ones that decided to go. You cannot push those people to go. You can have the tremendous and beautiful Cuban foreign policy towards Africa, which is something that I feel proud of. But I feel more proud about the Cuban doctors, the people that are there on the ground, the people that risk their life to go and help a brother in need. Those are the people that really deserve a comment today.
And as we had mentioned in the beginning, this is part of a larger Cuban history of internationalism. On the one hand, Cuba has always sent doctors around the world as part of a long-standing history. But then also, Cuba has always answered the call of Africa. In southern Africa, in Angola, when there was a call to support the decolonization process, Cuba was there. So if you could talk about these two histories of internationalism that Cuba has always shown towards Africa.
Yes. And this is something very important. If you follow the news, it looks like this is an isolated event. And you correctly said it's part of a very beautiful history of internationalism and cooperation. You know, the Cuban Revolution came to power in 1959. In 1960, there was already Cuban doctors in Chile helping an earthquake, the victim of an earthquake. In 1963, Cuba sent its first medical brigade to Algeria. And then from now on, you see, like, for example, more than 73,000 health Cuban cooperators have been deployed to 39 countries in Africa. And currently, this is today, we have more than 5,000 in 32 African countries. If you compare that to other very rich countries, you will see this is a responsive, very upstanding. And this is not only in health. Cuba is cooperating for a long time in culture, in sports, in education, in every field that those countries that ask for help. We have in Cuba, we have trained in Cuba thousands of Africans coming from very poor backgrounds. And today you will see in Africa many doctors, engineers, teachers, and people that are really helping their society to grow.
And there's also the other history of the decolonization movement and the role that Cuba played militarily in Angola. And I think that that's also part of, you know, a history and camaraderie between the continent and Cuba.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's also one of the reasons of your program. We all have to read or listen what the big multinationals of the media says, and the beautiful pages that the Cuban troops, together with the Angolans and the Namibians and the South Africans, they play in the Southern Africa to fight apartheid regime, and first to fight the colonial masters, because we fought together with the Angolans for the independence in Portugal. But then we came back to fight when the South African apartheid army was invading Angola, and together with the Namibians and South African and Angolans, we pushed them down and we forced. It was a very important battle against apartheid. I don't know if you are familiar with the Cuito-Cuanavale battle in Angola, which was a very important defeat for the South African racist army and really weakened the system.
And can you tell us a bit more about Cuito-Cuanavale? I mean, we always do a retrospective show here on our program every year, but if you could tell us a bit about that. I mean, because I think it really does demonstrate that kind of internationalism we're talking about.
Well, in general, it was a very important battle. Some people, they call it the Stalingrad of Africa, in which we show the strength of the Cuban army together with the Angolans and Namibians. They were there also, and the South Africans. It was all people agree that this is a very important battle, because it shows that the South African army can be defeated and send a very strong message to them politically, but also militarily.
Okay, and we're just approaching the end of the time we have here, but I wanted to maybe leave you by asking, you had said that the doctors are in training right now, the ones that are in West Africa. And is there kind of any other plans to deploy or any other kinds of responses Cuba has to Ebola?
Cuba has offered, they are actually, today we have 32 Cuban brigades in Africa. Mm-hmm. So these 32 Cuban brigades are going to be put in the disposition of the respective countries to fight Ebola in case Ebola arrives to those countries. But today, they can work on preparedness. So let's not wait for Ebola to arrive to be prepared. So Cuba has offered these brigades to work. We are talking about 4,000 Cuban collaborators that are already in place. And this is, for example, what as you were mentioning, Cuba has offered this before. When, for example, in Haiti, was struck by a very strong earthquake. Cubans were already there. So response was quickly, because there were more than 600 Cuban doctors in Haiti. And like this, we sent 2,000 Cuban cooperators to Pakistan. And they also had a very important job there and helped to rebuild and to take care of the people that were injured. But this is the more important thing is we can develop a program in Africa to prepare for Ebola.
Mr. Demokos, I'd really, really like to thank you for joining us today on our show and enlightening us about the role that Cuba is playing in West Africa, but also the history that comes along with that. And I think it's always important that we historicize and we contextualize these acts that we see, because you said rightly, it seems like you know, the way the media is portraying it, that it's coming out of nowhere. But in fact, that is part of a long history of relations between the African continent and Cuba. So thank you very much today for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to add at the end?
Just to say that what Cuba is doing, many people can do it. We feel proud of our African roots. There is African blood in our blood. Africans that came as a slave, they built the Cuban nation together with other immigrant nations. So we don't turn our backs to Africa. That's why we feel that we have a debt with Africa, and we have to fulfill that debt. And that's why the Cuban Revolution has its principle very clear on that issue. And there are many, many people with African roots that can do this. They can do the same. They cannot turn their backs to their African roots and the importance of the African contribution to the world. That's my end comment.
Thank you very much. That was very beautiful, Mr. Damokos. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. That was Mr. Javier Damokos, who is the Consul General of Cuba here in Canada, joining us today to talk about the historical contribution and the current contemporary contribution of Cuban doctors that are helping to fight the Ebola crisis in West Africa. This is CHRY 105.5 FM, Amandla, an African perspective, your source for news and views from the African continent.